Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that I direct your attention to this morning is the epistle lesson which was read moments ago. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, as I was thinking about my farewell sermon after 34 years as shepherd here at Mount Calvary, it was kind of an emotional experience trying to find a text that I wanted to preach on. I could have perhaps chosen a free text, which would be very fitting for a farewell sermon. Maybe I could have chosen Acts 20, where the Apostle Paul said his farewell to the Ephesian elders, the very letter that is our text. He wrote to the Ephesian church, to the elders, and to the churches in Asia Minor. But then I didn't want it to end as it did there at the shores of the Mediterranean by Ephesus, where they were all weeping. I'm not expecting that, or do I want anyone weeping? And so I decided I was going to preach on one of the appointed texts of the day. And it's always a safe choice, because over the years of my ministry, I found that you stick with an appointed text, the pericope, and it covers the whole counsel of God. And most often, it's very fitting to what a congregation may need to hear, and so forth. So I said, I'm going to do one of the appointed texts, and I would normally gravitate toward the gospel, but I didn't want it to end with the beheading of John the Baptist. So I chose instead the epistle text before us this morning. And what a grand and glorious text this is, this wonderful doxology, this praise of God, our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of our salvation. This happens to be, by the way, the longest sentence in the New Testament. It's almost difficult to read. It's so long. And I was thinking, well, I hope it's not the longest sermon I ever preached, but it's the longest sentence in the whole New Testament. And in the course of this sermon, as I indicated, we're going to be singing three hymns. A hymn of praise to God our Father, a hymn of praise to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, and a hymn of praise to the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier, and the one who seals us for salvation. Here in this text, St. Paul goes on and on and on and on. He heaps one phrase upon another phrase in an effort to describe God's wonderful grace, all the gifts that he gives us in Christ, the gifts of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, the blessings that we have. It's almost, even as long as the sentence is, he almost runs out of words to describe the wonder of God's grace. Just listen to this and you'll know what I mean. God has blessed us in Christ. He has chose us in him. He predestined for us for adoption as sons. He has blessed us in the Beloved, the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. God is doing all the acting. God is taking the initiative. God is the God of our salvation. All these blessings come from our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I would suggest that really what the Apostle Paul writes here in this text gives each of us our identity as a person. So how do you determine your identity? How do you identify yourself? How do you see yourself as a person? Well, what others say certainly comes into play. However, as sinful human beings, they could be wrong about you. They don't know you intimately. Their perspective is flawed because of sin. They are sinful human beings just like you and me. But nevertheless, what others say about you does come into play in terms of your identity. Some of you have said some very nice things about me. I've received cards already thanking me as your pastor for these 34 years. And some of you have even referred to incidences that I had forgotten or I didn't even know of, where you said, that particular time, the word of God that you brought to me was very comforting, very helpful, and I didn't even know it. I just simply sharing the word. And so I appreciate that, and that has something to do with my identity. What others say about you contributes to who you are and how you see yourself. And of course, there is self-identity, what you think about yourself and how you see yourself and how you describe yourself as a person. But I want to warn you, even that can be wrong. Because as a sinful human being, you may not even see yourself correctly. God knows you better than you know yourself. And always remember that. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so Paul directs us, first of all, to God, our Heavenly Father, and he writes this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ. He chose us in him before the foundations of the world. You just think about that for a minute. That's an amazing thing, that God chose you before you were born to be his own. He chose you in Christ. I think all of us enjoy being chosen for an honor, for recognition, to be recognized for maybe something we've done. My son Micah, right here, just this past week, was chosen as the employee for the last quarter at PetSmart in all of Minnesota. I thought that was a pretty nice honor, to be chosen as the employee of the quarter. But that's nothing compared to the choice that God, your Heavenly Father, has made of you and me. He chose you before the foundation of the world to be his very own dear child, your gracious Heavenly Father. And we call that the doctrine of election. It's kind of a mystery in some respects. It's kind of puzzling when you think about it just in the abstract. You know, it's we certainly don't believe it's double election. Well, if God chose you for heaven, then he must have chose somebody else for hell. That's horrendous. That's where our reason might go, but that's not what the Bible says. He did choose you, but it says it's a choice made in Christ, his son. He didn't even choose you knowing that down the road, whenever you were born, somewhere that you were going to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. No, he chose you in Christ before the foundations of the world. And then what he chose before even he created this world, he brought into effect through Jesus Christ. And so election's not for the spiritually smug. It's not now that you go down to the Mall of America and say, he chose me for salvation. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do. That's not the point of it. But what it does do is that when you're weak, when you may be doubting your relationship with God, when you're struggling with your position as his son or daughter, you have to remember the Lord, my Heavenly Father, my gracious Father, chose me in grace, in Christ, before I was even born. But it's always in connection with Christ. Listen again to the epistle. Listen how often Paul connects every blessing we have with Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ, even as he chose us in him. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, to unite all things in him. One blessing after another, in Christ, through Christ, in him. And what a blessing it is that God, your Heavenly Father, chose you in Christ to be his own dear child. And now let's sing about our Heavenly Father, the Creator, who has created us, who's chosen us in Christ. Turn to him, 819, sing Praise to God the Highest. Good. 819. glory. What God did before the creation of the world by choosing you in Christ to be his very own, he accomplished in time, when in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. In our epistle, Paul puts it like this: in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We have redemption through Christ. What a beautiful word. One of the many words in the Bible to describe what God has done for us. And you remember from the catechism, the small catechism, what that word means. It simply means to pay the price, to purchase freedom for a slave. And every one of us were at one time slaves. Slaves to sin, slaves to death, slaves to the power of the devil. And Christ has purchased us, as Luther so beautifully says, I think everything in the small catechism, the most beautiful thing that Luther wrote is the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. You know, he has purchased and won me from all sins and death, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his bitter innocent sufferings and death. Why? So I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He has redeemed me with his holy precious blood. That blood shed for each one of us, for all of our sins, there on that cross of Calvary. And that's the greatest news that you and I can ever hear. And this is my last time I get to preach that wonderful good news to you, to assure you that you as a sinner have been redeemed by that holy precious blood of Christ. I would invite us now to turn to the next hymn. Number 821. Alleluia, sing to Jesus. 821. So we come to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And you know that this is the final point, the third part of the third person of the Trinity. Paul writes here, "We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. That whole thought of sealing is important, isn't it? Still today, if you have some official legal document, you need to get it notarized, stamped with an official seal, signed by a notary public. Our church has a seal. All important documents have seals. A seal on a document is legal proof of ownership. And I think Paul here is using the language of baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther, in the midst of the struggles of the Reformation, as he sometimes felt the whole world was against him, as he simply was trying to rediscover the truth of the gospel, he had one word carved into his desk. It was the word baptizo. Baptizo, which is the Greek word for "I am baptized." And so when Luther felt discouraged, he could just look at his desk, see where he had carved that word, and took great comfort in that "I am baptized." And that's how you should look at your baptism. Sometimes last year, in fact, the elders had bookmarks with every member's baptismal date in it to remind them of their baptism. But for us as Christians, it's better not to say, "Well, I was baptized on, you know, November 13th, 1975. It's better to say, "I am baptized." Because your baptism is a present reality. It's a reality every day to remind you that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit in your baptism for eternal life. And so you can remember your baptism. That's why Luther says we daily remember our baptism, so that the old sinful nature can be drowned and die with its evil lusts, and that new creation in Christ can arise and live before Christ forever. And so what a comfort it is to know that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in your baptism. So what God the Father began before you were born, what Jesus accomplished for you by redeeming you with His blood, the Holy Spirit seals unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's sing now together the words of Hymn 497. "Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord." Hymn 497.
Delight from every end. keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be, that we in living faith abide. In Him our Lord with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia.
So I want to go back where I began. How do you see yourself? What is your identity as a person? Well, you know, certainly what other people say about you has something to do with it. Your own self-identity, how you see yourself and your gifts and your abilities and talents, that contributes. But your true identity, who you really are, God gives you. You have a gracious Heavenly Father who has chosen you in Christ before the foundations of the world. You have Jesus, your Redeemer, who gave His life for you, His holy precious blood, to forgive your sins, to make you His child. And you have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. In your difficult times in your life, when you may be having your doubts about maybe even who you are and what you're here for, remember these three words. This sermon, you can put it into three words. Chosen, redeemed, and sealed. May God give you joy and comfort and confidence in Him through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.